Don't forget, Titans fans, Corner Pub, that's your place to check out anytime the Titans are playing. Locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, downtown. Great beer specials, including $1 off Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. The reason I say on game day is because that's where our pregame show will be. Corner Pub, downtown location this Sunday. Yes, the Titans will suit up and play again this Sunday, 9:30 until 11:30 a.m. And, of course, the Titans will be taking on the Texans, and that should be a good division foe matchup of Jared Stillman, our next guest, Floyd Reese, and forever Titan wide receiver, Chris Sanders. And that's brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by Rumble On, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Let's ask the GM some questions. Floyd Reese can be heard every day on this station from 2 until 6 p.m. And this segment is brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Floyd, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. It's a beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. That was such an easy game to predict on Tuesday night. I mean, all was good here. Jeez.
You know what was funny? I went into the show and I said, you know, when you start coaching, everybody, you know, everybody's mom or brother or somebody gives you one of these little booklets, you know, how to coach football, how to coach baseball, how to, you know, whatever it is you're coaching. And it's written by some star coach way back when, and I think they kind of figure, you know, here's a nice little something to get you going. After that game on Tuesday, every coach in America shredded that book because that book was meaningless. None of the stuff in that book is right. So, yeah, it was an odd game, wasn't it?
By the way, is it like now aren't we learning that maybe two-a-days that used to be a part of and training camp and preseason and all that stuff maybe a little bit overrated?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the discussion. I mean, you know, to go 16 days with like one practice and a couple of walkthroughs and then go into a game and play that complete of a game. I mean, like it wasn't, well, the offense played really, really good, but, I mean, special teams were good. Defense had its big plays. I mean, you look at across the board, you know, we got the turnovers, didn't turn it over at all. We were better at penalties. We, you know, not a lot of mistakes. I mean, just really, really good-looking football. So, you know, now they're all asking, I'm sure, for another 16 days.
I'm sure Sean McDermott is looking around and looking at his staff and his players and going, guys, how did we look like the team that looked like they'd been off for 16 days when we weren't?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. You look at them and, you know, the penalties they had, the turnovers and the mistakes and I thought, you know, at least to start the game, I thought they were kind of lifeless. You know, I don't know if they just weren't expecting much of a game and, you know, they're just going to cruise right through the thing. But when they started, I thought they were just not, you know, not with it. And as the game went on, you know, they got better at it, I think, maybe a little bit of a shock value. You know, kind of got them to crank it up a little bit. But I was really surprised because that Buffalo team that we played, that was not the Buffalo team you saw, you know, weeks prior to our game.
No, especially Josh Allen, the last four games. I mean, he just looked like the old Josh, the guy of the first 2 years, not the guy of the first four games this season. Okay, so let's talk about what you just said because we actually brought that up and discussed it yesterday on the show. You've been on the sidelines, you've been a player, you've been a coach, and you've been up in the front office. So you talked about what we brought up. Like, did Buffalo just completely overlook the Titans and say, come on, they haven't done anything. All they've been worried about is trying to get zero positive tests. They haven't met the facility. Things have been shut down. Everybody's piling on them. We're 4-0. We should go in there and take care of business. On to Kansas City. So does that happen at this level?
You know, as amazingly as it sounds, yes, it does. And I think the biggest thing was the last thing you said, on to Kansas City. You know, they're thinking, okay, we're 4-0, we can beat 5-0, we'll be playing Kansas City on national TV. I mean, if we were to find a way to win that game, we would be at the top of the AFC. And And of course, that didn't happen. But, you know, it's amazing how these guys, because the bottom line is when you go into games of any magnitude, but certainly if you're a team like we were with a lot of, you know, the, if you say, okay, these things are really going to hurt your chances to win. Well, you can't practice. You got a lot of guys missing off the roster. You've got, well, if that list has 10 things, we may have checked all 10. And so, you know, going into that game, I think our guys had really one purpose, which was they had to focus. They had to be better prepared. They had to be smarter. They had to be all of those things more than they ever had been to have a chance. And I think they pulled that off. And I think Buffalo, on the other hand, was kind of, you know, let's look at them and say, okay, they've been criticized for 2 weeks. People on them about, you know, it's your fault all this virus stuff got started and you guys don't care and you're not doing your jobs and, you know, on and on and on and on. And I think they look at all that and they say, geez, with all the distractions they have, you know, we just need to go in there and be smart and play hard and we'll be okay.
Can you walk us through what this is like as a GM? So Mike Vrabel had to answer this question yesterday when the report got out that Kamalea Correa had walked in and requested a trade. And they said, you know, they sent out a press release saying that they would accommodate that. And if they can't find a trading partner, they're just going to flat out release him and move on. Well, what is that like? Because I know you've had to be put in that spot. And I honestly thought yesterday, like, John Robinson's not going to be able to get anybody to give him something for him. He knows everybody knows that they're getting ready to release him. So how did he pull it off?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting that he did to a division foe, but it did work out for him. But the question in my mind was always bigger than that because, you know, at a point in time, sometime during a year, you're going to have somebody that's upset. And they want to come and they're going to want traded or they're going to want released or whatever the case may be. And if it's a guy that's a backup that, you know, you could probably get by without, not a big deal, is one thing. What if it's Eddie George? Now what do you do? You know, and that was the question we always ask ourselves. The guys that maybe aren't your stars are one thing. But what happens if a star gets mad over whatever it may be, and you let him, can you turn around and do the same thing? You know, can you trade him? If you don't, are you going to be willing to let him go? And that was always the question we had to answer before we made a move.
Well, that's well put. Floyd Reese is with us, former GM of the Titans. You can hear him every afternoon, of course, on Jared and the GM, 2 to 6 p.m. So, Floyd, I thought in my mind when, as we led up to the game was going to be played Tuesday if everything fell into place, enormous challenge to play Tuesday. They passed with flying colors, as we pointed out. But part two is going to be then to turn around and get ready for another game on Sunday after the bumps and bruises that you haven't accumulated from not practicing and whatnot. So what are your biggest concerns about just recovering and being prepared for Sunday's game?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is I think it was probably easier for a coach to get that team against Buffalo to crank them up and really get them focused on what they needed to do than it will be this week because they knew how far behind the eight ball they were last week. They knew they had to do some special things. Well, this week, you know, they're looking at a, you know, what's their record, 1-4, you know, 1-3, whatever
right.
It is. And they're looking at that and they're saying, well, you know, they're not playing very good. And so, you know, this is going to be a lot easier than it was against Buffalo. And so you're fighting the very things that Buffalo was probably fighting playing us. So it's going to be, this challenge will be much, much bigger for the coaching staff, the leaders, the captains, than I think last week.
That's a great point. And further illustrating, too, the roster looks a lot better with some of these guys that are activating. So you're like, well, now we've got Jeffrey Simmons back, and now we've got this guy back. But so that is part of it, too. But I did love what Mike Vrabel said, and this is what gives you confidence, Floyd, and I think you've seen this as much as anybody because you've been saying it for a long time. Mike Vrabel, I thought the great quote, and we can't repeat it verbatim, because he said, you know, you don't galvanize because there's adversity, right? You galvanize beforehand. And you can't say, oh boy, we've got a, let's just say, a storm coming. He used a blank storm in there as the quote. Oh, we need to galvanize. He said, you have to galvanize from the start. And that keeps you, you've got your foundation in place when the tough stuff hits.
I agree 1,000%. As a matter of fact, yesterday during the show, I pulled that very quote out and used that as an example of how he is maybe a step ahead of a bunch of guys. Because he, as soon as the question was asked, the first thing out of his mouth was, you know, well, you don't galvanize when it's hard or when it's easy. You know, you galvanize all the time. And I think that was his point, which was, you know, if you're going to be that kind of a team, a tough team, one of those guys that can work their way through anything, well, you have to do that across the board. You just can't pick and choose when you want to do that.
So with Simmons in there, how much does that help? I was pretty amazed that they were able to stuff the run the way they did against Buffalo without him in there. But, boy, it is going to be something to watch, getting him back in there with all the other pieces.
Yeah, and he'll make a world of difference. I mean, the truth is, I think, like, man, I keep, you know, we're all looking at the pass rush and, you know, praying over the pass rush. He did as much to help the pass rushes as anybody else, simply because he's a factor inside. And when you get a factor like that inside, it helps your corners. And by the corner, I mean the corner rush guys. So I think he is he's going to be a key element. Certainly help against the run. Certainly help emotionally, you know, help your confidence, help all those kinds of things. So, you know, somebody like that, I mean, we just don't have a replacement for somebody like that.
We're talking to the GM, Floyd Reese, 2 to 6 weekdays here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Jared and the GM. In 1994, you went through the tough decision of having to make a coaching change with your team, obviously hiring Jeff Fisher to replace Jack Pardee. The Texans had to go through that last week with Bill O'Brien. But what is it that they're getting in Romeo Crennel? He's already got a win under his belt since taking over. He's a veteran of the game. Why do you think he was the perfect guy to try and right this ship in Houston?
Well, I mean, the term perfect is kind of, you know, up for interpretation. You know, perfect might be the guy that can give you the most stability and is not going to be a factor at the end of this. And by that, I mean, you know, Romeo's not going to apply for the head coaching job.
Right.
And so, you know, you can kind of skate on and go ahead and look at whoever it is you want to look at. He is stable. He is smart. I think Billy O was not what you would call a player's coach. You know, he was a discipline, do it my way, we're going to practice, all of those kinds of things. Romeo is a little bit more the other way. You know, Romeo is the guy that will explain it to you. You know, take the time. Okay, you don't understand it? Come into my office. Let me help you. And Billy O wasn't probably quite as good at that. So, you know, as is often happens, and I say this all the time with coaches, if the ownership isn't really locked into what they want from a coach, they'll go back and forth. You know, players coach, disciplinarian. Players coach, disciplinarian. And they just go back and forth because they want the opposite of what they had last time. Not because that's what they want, but just because the last one didn't work, this next one will work better.
So what do you see from Houston? We know this schedule is you know, murderer's row, especially to start out. I mean, they had to go on the road at Kansas City and then play Baltimore and then at Pittsburgh. So, I mean, it certainly was not an easy start. And then they got games against, you know, Green Bay, Cleveland, New England. So they have a tough road to hoe. But when you see that roster, even though Hopkins is not there anymore, do you still see a team that if they get things turned around, they can still be a factor in this division?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, what do you see on offense? You see tremendous speed on the outside, which we struggle with. You see a quarterback that we've always struggled with. The offensive line is maybe not what it needs to be. Running game, maybe not what it needs to be. But they've got the ability to make some plays in some areas that we might be, you know, have a little bit of a weakness. And so I look at that and say, uh-oh, you know, I don't like that matchup. Then you go over on the other side and you say, okay, what are they good at over there? And, you know, J.J. Watt, we know all about him forever. And they've been hurt a little bit. Secondary not quite playing what they want or the way they want, but they do have safeties, legitimate safeties. So, you know, how is all that going to play out? But the bottom line is this. I mean, if they beat us right now, they're right back in the middle of it. That's what they're saying. You know, here they are. They're 4-0, and they're on top of the division. And if we win this game, we're going to be able to beat anybody else on our schedule and be right in the middle of it.
Corey Davis wasn't available, and I would assume probably won't be available this week. Maybe he could. A.J. Brown comes back to the lineup, really shows out. How can, in your mind, Arthur Smith use both of them now that it feels like Corey Davis has some of his confidence back? He was able to show out while A.J. was injured. Plus, you're trying to build off of what A.J. Brown did in his rookie year. How do you think Arthur Smith can try and make both of those pieces work?
Well, I think, you know, what you're doing is you're saying, oh, dude, one of the great things that Ryan does, Tannehill, is distributes the ball well. And I think, you know, when you have quality playmakers in there at a couple of spots, it gives you the advantage of having an option. And I think that's the way we're headed. And that's what we've hoped for all along. You look at Humphrey at a slot, and you say, okay, that's an option. You look at Janu at tight end. Okay, that's an option. And, you know, when you line up, you put four options out there on the perimeter. Well, now all of a sudden, who are you going to cover? Who are you going to take away? You know, that becomes the question. And I think it's just going to give us the opportunity to get the ball out to more playmakers.
Last thing, how difficult is the mindset when you get – clearly, they use the motivation of what the league, what people were saying around the league about them. Nobody was giving them a chance. There was a lot of bulletin board material for them going into that Buffalo game, and they proved everybody wrong, and they got to beat their chest, and they're now 4-0. But now you have to turn around in a short amount of time and try to get up again to do that. How difficult is that in a short amount of time?
Well, it's generally hard. Now, because they had the 16 days off, hopefully it'll be a little bit easier. You know, if they would have played 7 or 8 straight games and then get thrown into this, then it becomes a little bit more difficult. But I think having that little bit of a break, you know, might be enough time for them to say, okay, we're going to come back, we're going to be fine. Let's put it all together and find a way to win this game.
Floyd, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. Have a good show today and a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys.
Floyd Reese, that's brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. Silly Underdog Picks coming up at high noon. More football and hockey talk the rest of this hour here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Now in our city, Predators GM David Poyle, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, although I think he's wrapped up, and I think Vanderbilt head coach Jerry Stackhouse is wrapped up. Those three coaches were all doing Zoom calls with the media here locally at 11 o'clock.
I saw Joe Rexroad's tweet, need a master scheduler for Nashville media, and he elected Teresa Walker. So yeah. I agree.
That's kind of – you want coverage. You might want to try to work around each other. I'm just saying. That's odd.
I can't remember the last time something like that's happened, especially in this Zoom era.
Yeah.
I don't think it has happened.
Yep. So we, David Poyle, as you expect, is going longer than others because he's got a lot of stuff to talk about. So you'll hear about that a little bit later in the show. What did you guys make of, and do you, what do you think of, by the way, Ryan Tannehill now speaking with the media after his head coach, the quick turnaround, right? It's great for shows like this. Like, we get to talk, you know, we get to talk about the game on Tuesday, on Monday and Tuesday, then Wednesday, yesterday, we got to spend the whole day talking about the game that took place, and now we spend the next 2 days talking about the game that's getting ready to happen again on Sunday. So for what we do, it's fantastic. But for what they do, this is a short turnaround, and they had to get sky high under weird circumstances after being off for 16 days in between games and beat an undefeated Buffalo team in the fashion that they did, and turn right around and get that same energy and that same mindset. Yes, a lesser opponent, but it's the NFL. And if you take anybody for granted, you're going to lose. That's how it works in the NFL. It's hard to win in the National Football League. How do you turn around and try to get the necessary mindset, you know, approach that you need to win at this level in a short amount of time again this Sunday?
I think in some ways it might be as big or bigger of a challenge as Tuesday's game. And Tuesday's game was a monumental challenge, as we said many times leading up. But now that they've done that, Ryan Tannehill he put it this way. He goes, we had all those days where we didn't practice, but we were preparing for Buffalo. And the other offshoot was, you know, they didn't have the wear and tear of playing games. So they were fresh in that respect. So now you've played the game, so you have an entirely different challenge, he was saying. He said, now you got to get your body right. You got to make sure you get your rest. And you have less time to get your game plan in and turn it around. He said it's even different than playing a Sunday game and then having a Thursday game. I didn't get all the details. I was just reading the tweets there. Maybe we can hear it later or something. But Floyd seemed to think the same thing. Because, Darren, as you mentioned too, the other part of it is you were kind of the big nothing-to-lose team Tuesday who could ambush. Nobody expected
nobody
much.
Expected
if they had
exactly.
lost, nobody would have said, hey, bad loss, what are they doing? You say, well, stands to reason they lost. They haven't practiced. Yeah. But now you're almost supposed to win against the Texans. And the Texans are desperate. They've got a different coach in there. They're trying to shake it up. They've got dangerous players. You've got Deshaun Watson who can really do damage to you. So what do you think? How is this challenge difficulty-wise compared to last week?
Well, and I think there's another factor too, and I take nothing away from what the Titans did on Tuesday night, but I do believe you have to also say, well, the Bills might have underestimated a little bit. And so that certainly factors in. Houston's not going to do that because they saw what the Titans did Tuesday night. They're going to go, okay, even though they're on a short week and we have that advantage, we got to be ready because this is a good team. And Romeo Crennel, whether he's a great head coach or not, he's been around the block a few times, and he knows how to do that. And he knows Mike Vrabel, and he knows what Mike Vrabel is telling his team. So that's certainly going to be a part of it. But, you know, if this is yet another test for Mike as a head coach, because I said it yesterday, thought he did a tremendous job having his team ready to go and making sure that they were mentally prepared. It wasn't just the physical part. It was more mental than anything. And so I have right now no doubt that he's going to do that again. Now, it's you can call it a trap game or whatever you want to say, but this is where we're going to see just how mentally tough this team is as they try and overcome everything that they've been going through on a short week against a division foe.
You might know the line. Anybody looked?
I have not looked.
I have not
okay.
looked.
All right.
I have not
so,
looked.
Good. Perfect. And I did not know until I looked it up while you were talking, Chase.
Because we were stunned. Just to put it in perspective, we were stunned when we learned the line of the Bills game.
Yes.
That the Titans were only 3.5-point dogs with everything they were dealing with. And we again go back to Vegas and say, they know something. They know something.
So, with that being said, what do you guys think it is?
Willie, go first.
I just want to make sure I saw this right. The game is in Nashville, right?
Yes. That is correct.
Okay. I will say Titans by 4.5.
He says 4.5. I will say Titans by 3.5.
I'm not sure why you guys thought it would be that low. I would have said more like 6, but it's 3.5. It's 3.5, depending on where you look.
Wow.
I thought it was that
half
low.
Half the boards have it at 3, half the boards, books have it at 3.5.
If this were a normal week, I would have said 6, but this isn't normal. And they're just getting some guys off COVID, so, I mean, that's why I went 3.5.
Well, getting guys off COVID would help the line go up, especially a guy like
right,
Jefferson.
But they haven't practiced, or, I mean, it's the same stuff we've
well,
been
we know that's
about.
Overrated.
Yeah, well, fair.
Big deal. Practice.
We're talking about practice, man.
You know the coaches have to deal with that now, right?
Practice?
Coaches, the police players are going to be like, yeah, blah, 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 blah,
game.
Blah. When's our next Zoom meeting? We don't need practice, right? You know that's – I mean, come on. There's going to be probably a lot of it's going to be in jest. It's going to be for fun. But you know that conversation's going on behind the scenes. Practice, smactus.
They're playing Allen Iverson on repeat.
Right. Exactly.
There was actually – I wish off the top of my head I could throw it out there so people could find it. But there's a – I think it's inside the NFL's Twitter that I was watching last night. They played about a 4-minute clip of NFL Films highlights. You know, the great camera angles they have, and, of course, the sound on the bench. Taylor Lewan had a great line about the forearm shiver, the stiff arm. He said, dude, you literally knocked him into the suites. He's sitting with my wife right now. But there were some Allen Iverson practice. Who needs practice? You know, they're killing him on the sideline.
Oh, really?
We're having some fun out here, you know. Who needs practice? But this is another part of the mental part. And this is where I really lean on Mike Vrabel's expertise in this area, because he's going to have to switch it a lot. You know they used the us against the world. Nobody thinks we can win. Everybody was pointing fingers at us. And they used that as an emotional lift. And they don't have that now, right? They've been vindicated, exonerated from the league. They've moved forward from that. And now they're the 4-0 team that everybody's pointing at is, hey, look how great this Titans team is. So now they have to avoid getting complacent from that, from the mental side of it. But this is where Vrabel is good, right? This is where Vrabel, I think, will push the right buttons to try to avoid that.
Well, did you guys see the video that Bussin' with the Boys posted? Like they put their faces on characters from a movie, and I've seen the movie and I can't remember exactly which movie it was, but it's basically that whole mentality of people tried to, you know, push us down and say that we, you know, they were against us, but, you know, we weren't going to back down. And it's basically a scene from a movie where they're taking their bar back. But I mean, that's the whole mentality of the team. Now, is that going to work 2 weeks in a row? We're going to find out, because Houston's probably feeling the same, because they're, you know, looked at by the league in a different way, but looked at as, man, they're not very good. Bill O'Brien screwed him over because he traded their best, you know, one of their best players and all of that. And so they're trying to rally the same way. I think this is going to be a good game on Sunday. But can the Titans overcome yet all these other obstacles and this noise from the rest of the league and continue this undefeated streak and go to 5-0 and really, some, you know, really take hold of this division?
You've heard me say this for years on this show, and it just makes me laugh whenever, because they did everything you guys said. They did. They were outspoken about it. They absolutely use this as motivation. It just always cracks me up. I've always said, whenever coaches, GMs, players are telling you we're not paying attention to what's being said or what's being written, it's all just a big old pile of bunk. They absolutely are. Don't ever let them fool you. And whenever you hear them say they're not paying attention to what's being said, we're just taking it day by day, game by game. We're in our own little bubble, own little world. We don't care about what's being said on sports talk radio or what's being written about us. It's all baloney. I've said it for years.
Especially when you can't go to work.
Here's a prime example. It's all baloney. They absolutely know what's being said about them, and they know what's being written about them. They all do. It's not just the Titans. All of them. College, pros, they all do, and they use it as motivation. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I don't know why it's always been viewed as, you know, like, you need that to get up. Yes, people need motivation. It doesn't matter what your job is. However much you love your job, you don't always wake up with the same passion every single day, because thing called life, you know, gets in the way sometimes. Things happen. There's distractions. There's things going on. And sometimes you need motivation. Sometimes you need something to get you going. That's in any facet of life. No matter what your job is, no matter how good you are at it, or no matter how much you love it, sometimes you need motivation. Sometimes you need something, a certain mindset to get you going. Why is that viewed as such a bad thing in sports? It's almost like they've been afraid to admit that, right? And there's, look, and fans are guilty of saying, why do they, these players get paid millions of dollars. Why do they need to be motivated?
I hate that.
Because that's life, okay? It doesn't matter how much you get paid. It's life, okay? Put yourself in their shoes. You're not getting paid $9 million a year at your job. But if you did, you'd probably go through the same stuff. That's how it works. So I wish we would toss that thing to the side. You know, I wish they would stop pretending like they don't know what's being said or what's being written. And we would all stop acting like, you know, and stop saying that, you know, why do these guys need to be motivated? Because they do. They're human beings. Okay. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And yes, they need bulletin board material, because how many times have you heard a player or a coach stand up there after a butt whooping that they just put on the other team and start quoting or saying things that were said or written about them that week, right?
It's a time-tested motivator. It works.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Bulletin board material and whatever, even if it's skewed or twisted and made bigger than it actually is, it still works. It works the same.
It works.
My guess is in the 20-plus years that you two have been doing this, that at some point in time, whether, you know, Twitter's, you know, still kind of a fairly new thing, but somebody has said, oh, Darren and Willie suck, or, you know, something like that, because I know I've gotten it. You see it, and you use it. I use it. It fuels me. It goes the same way in radio as it does in football. That's human. That's
well,
the human
element.
Well,
first of all, you can't sign up for this gig and not get that. It's impossible.
Sure.
So you're going to get, you know, when we people get to hear us at work, you know, people get to hear what we have to say at work. It's live 4 hours a day. And yes, there's no way you're ever going to get away from that. And have I ever used anything as motivation, whether it was said on social media, whatever the circumstance, to motivate me? Of course. A GM, a program director, you know, a colleague. Yeah. Yeah, that's life. Does it mean I don't love my job? Does it mean that, you know, I wasn't motivated? No, nothing had changed. It just sometimes you use that as an extra oomph.
Right.
I think that should be.
The haters are going to hate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you also have to be able to just be like, whatever. I mean, that's part of it, too. And athletes have to do whatever. Coaches have to do whatever from fans or stuff they read. Or what's being said on social media, you have to have the whatever, like, okay, whatevs, okay?
Right?
But there's also things that you see that tick you off, and it should motivate you. And I would hope everybody out there listening has had something happen to them that I'm sure they can relate, and it's worked for them in the workplace. A colleague or somebody in their business, right? A competitor.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, and because that stuff just never goes away. It doesn't matter how old you get, what career you go into. There's always going to be somebody telling you that you're not good at what you do, or you can't do something, or you're not going to do something as long as they're around. You're going to have that. And you can either believe it and give into it and just quit, Or you can say, not necessarily I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to prove me right. Watch me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
so they did do that for this game against Buffalo. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. It served as a motivator to this Titans team that is now 4-0. And that's okay.
But now you got to tap into something else
for
this game.
Now you got to find and there's other ways, new gear,
and
that new motivator.
And there's ways to do it. And the best teams, and as Mike Vrabel said, the best teams are galvanized and focused every week, regardless of the circumstances, right? They don't need extra motivation, even though you use it when you can get it. It's just a different challenge. I'm intrigued to see how they take part B of the challenge. Because after that, in theory, you'll get back to your regular routine each week for a while, right? The next several games, I think, are on Sundays. Do they have any Thursdays or Mondays in the coming weeks? I haven't looked that far ahead, I guess.
They have a Thursday game in November against
Okay, so a few weeks off before, so you can get back into the routine. So this will be big.
Yeah.
But certainly having the personnel back, that's the other thing, is you can't fall into the trap that the Bills did of, oh, look at the other team, they're missing all these guys, we should be able to kill them. And now the Titans have to say, well, they have to avoid we got Simmons back and we got some of the other guys off the COVID list.
We're good now.
Deeper. We're
yeah.
good.
Oh, we're
now,
good.
Now it should be easy.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be easy. And,
right.
And you can bet that Vrabel will make sure they address that.
Speaking of that, we'll come back. Okay. Let's hear from Mike Vrabel. He has spoken to the media. He's talked about their next opponent. We'll see if some of the stuff we've talked about he brings up. I suspect he will. He is going to he's probably already drilling it in their head what we've been talking about. So we'll hear from him to close out the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, let's hear what Titans head coach Mike Vrabel had to say to the media following their big win over Buffalo and getting ready for the Texans on Sunday.
You know, Jeff was doing a lot of good things in there for us. You know, just trying to get the roster back to, you know, to close to full strength as we possibly can be. You know, working through some things from the game on Tuesday. So we'll see where these guys are at after practice. And then, you know, we always look to improve, you know, each and every week, you know, whether that's on special teams, defense, you know, and improve third down. You know, there's a lot of things to work on in all three phases.
Mike, I guess how was the overall conditioning level impacted by having so much time off? And have you had to structure practices different, kind of keeping that in mind?
Well, I wouldn't say that the practices are structured any differently because of conditioning. I would say it's probably due to health and soreness and some of those things as opposed to conditioning level. But I think the conditioning can always improve.
And as far as the injury report, so many guys on there, I mean, is that almost a situation where you've got to weigh rest maybe being more important than practice for some of these guys coming off of a game Tuesday?
Well, we have to continue to work and show them things that they're going to see in the game or what we think they're going to see. Try to get them as ready as possible for under the circumstances of a quick turnaround, and we try to structure the schedule that's going to have them ready to go. It changes every week, just like it did last week, just like it will this week.
Mike, along those lines, what's the biggest challenge for you after going 2 weeks with no work, you know, except for Zoom meetings and then a couple of practices and playing, to now having to turn around on a short week against a division foe?
You know, that's how the schedule fell. You know, we knew that's what it was going to be last week. And so now we'll go out here in a little bit and work, practice, get going, you know, evaluate how guys feel, and then move on to, you know, tomorrow and what we have to do after, you know, getting some first and second, third down work today, and see if we can't put it all together tomorrow with some red zone and try to be ready. We're going to have to continue to prepare all the way up until the game.
Coach, how delicate is the balance between getting after a guy like Deshaun Watson and keeping containment? How big of a task is that?
I mean, it's a huge task. He's a special talent, you know, a great person. You know, so we're gonna have to try to do, you know, a better job of than what we did last week. You know, with Josh, and every week is a new challenge. You know, this week is obviously, you know, Houston, you know, coming off a great performance, big win. You know, they played complimentary. They got turnovers and they took advantage of them. They mixed tempos. They got big plays. They scored touchdowns in the red zone. So it'll be difficult with Deshaun, like it is a lot of quarterbacks that are athletic and talented. It's just that he's the challenge this week.
Yeah, Coach, we saw your DBs very active in the blitz game. What is it about some of those guys that you feel confident in sending them in the blitz when necessary?
Well, I mean, we've had success with different people playing in different positions and blitzing from different spots and just trying to change, you know, different looks up. You know, every week is different, but, you know, a lot of times it's about the blitzer and not the blitz. So we continue to identify guys that can go and affect plays by blitzing.
And then when you have a tandem like Vaccaro and Byard, how much does that help you be able to disguise coverages the way you guys do from time to time?
Well, I think that the more you know somebody and the more you know their job and they know yours, you know, you're allowed to, you know, it allows you to communicate with the guy next to you, the guy in front of you. You know, I'd say we got a long way to go, you know, to get that, you know, throughout the entire defense.
Mike, we've seen, you know, Ryan Tannehill put up great numbers almost as soon as he's gotten in the starting lineup for you guys. Why has it been such a good fit for Ryan with the system or with you or Arthur or whatever? And how important is kind of a fit, you know, for success for a quarterback, you think?
I think fit, you know, you touched on fit. I think that goes for a lot of things that we do here with our team and around the league and situations that players, you know, maybe it didn't work out for somebody and you know, they go somewhere else and have a little bit more success and you know, somebody uses them a little bit differently or they're coached, you know, somewhat differently. So that happens a lot. That's somewhat, you know, frequent that guys maybe have success somewhere else than they did at their first or second stop. You know, they are more prepared to take advantage of the opportunity. You know, I can't really, other than Ryan's done and exactly what we've asked him to do, operate the offense. It hasn't been perfect, but, you know, there's a strong understanding there of what we're trying to do and get done, you know, based on the plan that we have that week.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, can you relate a little bit to that experience yourself? I mean, having more success at a you know, a second stop than somebody did at the first?
Probably, you know, and that's all part of it, and that's always a message to the players is, you know, you're working here and you're not getting frustrated about, you know, your involvement here or how much you're playing or what it is and continue to come in and improve your value to the football team and, you know, continue to improve and take advantage of your opportunities when they arise, whether that's here or maybe later on down in your career.
Hey, Mike, I was just wondering, when you evaluate Houston over the last few games, did they look any differently under Romeo last Sunday than they did under Bill the first few weeks, whether it be schematically, execution-wise, what have you?
You know, I mean, I think there's always, you know, they're always going to have some game plan plays in all three phases. They do a really nice job of that, showing a few wrinkles defensively, some complementary plays off of formations that, you know, they've shown earlier in the year. But – you know, I wouldn't say that it's a drastic, you know, difference. You know, they had played well. They were you know, beating Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, you know, in the fourth quarter. They just weren't able to close it out. And, you know, they've played well throughout the course of the year. I would say that the first thing I've learned is that records don't mean anything in this league at all whatsoever. You'll have to play well and give yourself a chance to win. If you don't play well in this league, you're guaranteed to lose.
Playing well doesn't ensure that you're going to win. It's just going to give you an opportunity to win.
Hey, Mike, you had on your estimated report yesterday of your corners, four would have missed, one would have been limited. We know Christian was coming back off COVID. How much better a shape will you be in today? You're going to have to use coaches again or some receivers. What's the status there?
You know, we'll take inventory of where we're at. The coaches won't have to be on the injury report. The players will be listed, you know, as we see as how they go through practice and, you know, at what level they can execute. You know, we'll try to get some work in. Obviously, we have to go practice, and we'll see who's available and make sure that we find ways to get guys the game plan.
You talked about your reaction to the stiff arm yesterday. Was I wrong to sense you were being a little sarcastic when you said it was the greatest 5-yard run you'd ever seen?
I'm sorry, go ahead, finish. I didn't hear you.
What did you take from the run? What did you take from the juice that it maybe gave guys?
Sure. You know, I mean, I think that there's been a lot of great runs in this league, and, you know, there was a lot of excitement over that particular play. So I was probably a little tongue-in-cheek there. It's good to see. It's certainly a weapon that Derek has had in his running style. We've all seen that. And I want that. I want those punt returns to bring energy. I want defensive stops to bring energy, or continue to transfer energy throughout, you know, each and every phase of our football team. So, you know, if that can create some energy, I think I love that guys are into it on the sidelines. You know, if AJ picks up a penalty or converts a third down on our sidelines, guys are excited, and, you know, no different than that play with Derek.
Thanks.
Gentry?
Yeah, Mike, has there been any closure yet in terms of the NFL in the last couple of weeks as it pertains to the team? And are you expecting there will be closure to all that?
I mean, I didn't know that there was an open-ended, that we were looking for any sort of conclusion. You know, we're just trying to do everything we can do to, you know, keep our players here, you know, healthy, our staff healthy. So, you know, we haven't, you know, we're in continued conversations with the league about, you know, what we're enhanced protocols are and ways that we can try to ensure a safety. And so, you know, it's not like it's not an open-ended conversation. We're continuing conversation to talk to them and, you know, hey, are we still working in these parameters and having meetings in the bubble and, you know, everything that they've, you know, recommended that we do. So I don't know what the conclusion, if there ever will be a conclusion or, you know, summary or closure, I guess is what I'm saying, that we're always going to be working through this thing as the season goes along.
Hey, Coach, I know Isaiah Wilson coming off that COVID list, a good sign. I mean, he was on that for quite a while. What are the next steps for him, just kind of getting him back, getting him healthy and in those practices?
Well, it's about practice. It's about being able to execute in practice and, you know, his level of understanding since he's been away. You know, what does he recall? What has he learned? You know, how can he help us? His performance that we'll try to identify, you know, as we go out here to practice. And then we make a decision and see where, you know, he best helps the football team.
Mike, what have you seen from Jeremy McNichols when he's gotten his opportunities, and how are you at running back behind Derek with Darrington going on short-term IR?
I would say that Jeremy is one of those players that's, you know, taking advantage of, you know, his opportunities. You know, love his toughness, and, you know, he's a player that puts the team first. He's prepared. He's ready to go in there. A lot of our success in that game was due to Jeremy and his ability to protect on third down, protect in the passing game when they blitzed. That was a huge key. Gave us some good runs there when he was in there as well.
There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel getting ready for the game on Sunday against the Texans. All of our live press conferences here on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Anything stand out before we wrap up this hour?
Didn't you guys think it was interesting how he answered the investigation question? Because
yeah.
I think I don't know if it was the best word question, but the question was basically, do you have closure on it now? And he basically said it's ongoing and it's going to keep going. Like, he just really wouldn't say, like, that the book is closed. I didn't understand exactly where he was going there. I don't think we're thinking that there's going to be another shoe that's going to drop anywhere. But I don't know. I just thought that was odd. Like, I do think what was valuable is to say the battle's not over, right? We have to keep doing this. This is an evolving situation, and every week we got to come in here and make sure we're doing the protocols. I get that part, but like he chose not to say this is vindication. I told you all along that we were following the protocols. He stayed away from that.
Mm-hmm. Or didn't say we've moved on.
Right.
Right.
He said that we're in constant communication with the league.
Right.
And we'll continue to be.
Which
is saying this is consistent with what we've always done. Is I think the message he was trying to get out there, that we'll continue to do so, and we have in the past. Basically implying if you were doubting that we were being transparent, well, we have been transparent and we're going to continue to be. But it was an odd way of saying it. You know, it wasn't a direct answer, right?
Yep. We'll come back. We'll start the third hour with silly underdog picks next.